Good evening and welcome to Bethel Evangelical Church Christmas Candle Light Service 2019. It's good to have you all with us. Please don't rush off after service. Please come downstairs for more fellowship and light refreshments. It's good to get together at this time of year to worship and to praise our living Saviour.
Bible text for this evening from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 verse 10. It's the words that are spoken by the angels to the shepherds. And the words are these. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Simply this evening, we're just going to look at those adjectives. Good news, great joy, all the people. 6 years ago, there was some good news in the town of Neath. A nativity scene had been put up. A number of years it had been in the town. And then it was reported that the baby Jesus was missing. And so, obviously, the police were informed. CCTV cameras were looked at. And a search party was sent out to find this ceramic figure that had come from America and made up the central feature of the nativity scene in the middle of the town. Well, we went on to read, fortunately, one gentleman found the baby Jesus. He said, "We found the baby Jesus. He was in the shop door of Justin Jeffrey's solicitors in the town." Now, I wonder whether, as you've come to this service this evening, you're also in that point of a search, searching perhaps for reality, searching for the truth, searching for the true Christmas message, perhaps. You've been aware of other things, the periphery and the trimmings and the externals, and perhaps people are becoming more and more dissatisfied or disenchanted with all that supposedly goes under the commercial expansion at this time of the year. And everyone's calling everyone back to the basics, to the essentials. What should it mean? Well, in this text, we are told that the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all the people." Do not be afraid. I wonder what sort of year you've had. Maybe perhaps you had one of those brown envelopes on the door, or is it a white envelope today, that little bit of blue writing, so you know it's a hospital appointment. And of course, you've been waiting for it to come, and then when it comes, there's that little bit of anxiety and fear. What's to come of it? Perhaps it's been more in the context of your family and things that you've been waiting to happen, or perhaps news that you're waiting to hear. And still that sense it's not yet, at this very late month in the year, it's not yet been achieved. So we're looking, perhaps. But in the midst of it all, the Bible, some 365 times, one for every day of the year, says, "Do not fear." And here's the angels reminding us of this wonderful fact this evening. Now let's have a look at this good news. There it is. We're in the middle of the night. A number of shepherds are doing what they always did, looking after their sheep. A bright light suddenly overwhelms them. I can remember talking to a man who said that one night he was at home and his house was flooded with a bright light. It scared him instantly, but it turned out to be nothing more than the searchlight in a police helicopter that was searching for some miscreants that were seeking to escape justice. But for a flash, the bright light, it just sort of went through all his house, and he thought, "Am I having some sort of experience here?" Well, initially, these shepherds then would have been, as we read, fearful, terrified, we read. We also read of the Apostle Paul later on, who wrote so many of the New Testament letters in a similar experience. That wasn't it, the night, that was at midday. He saw a bright light from heaven, brighter than the sun, and he fell on his knees and was temporarily blinded by it all as he went to Damascus to arrest people who were followers of the way. Now, in those two incidences here, with the shepherds and with the Apostle Paul, God was revealing himself in something of his glory and of his purity and of his power. I suppose the reality is, were we to see anything of the true being of God, we would be consumed instantly. Remember Isaiah, who wrote these prophecies, and we've heard them read tonight. In the year the king Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up on the throne, and he had a cry, "Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in amongst a people of unclean lips." And that sense of the purity and the awe of God. But on these two occasions, with the shepherds and with the Apostle Paul, this bright light and this message from the angels comes to bring good news to those perhaps whose natures were evil, whose natures needed to be changed, whose thoughts and actions needed to be altered. You see, some people think that the gospel, and that is what the good news simply is God interrupting people's lives. It cuts across the path that they are following. Certainly, sometimes the good news of the gospel is a warning about the consequences of carrying on in the direction that you're following. It's 10 years now since Bill Barker, PC Bill Barker, in Workington, stopped people from crossing a bridge that had been affected by bad flooding. And sadly, the unsound bridge that collapsed and took him into the River Derwent and caused his death, leaving his wife and four children. And then the temporary building of a bridge, which was nicknamed Barker's Bridge. But in one sense, he had given a warning, and people had heeded the warning. And sometimes the good news is a warning note. And so the gospel reminds us that if we carry on as we are, without a sense of looking to God, without a sense of our accountability, well, it could end in utter tragedy. But the good news is also, in that positive note, it's a message that the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Godhead, puts himself in that sense, as that police officer did, is putting himself in harm's way on our behalf to enact a rescue for those who are facing bad news of eternal judgment and separation. And in this verse here, the angels are telling the shepherds, God is fulfilling his purposes. He's bringing about a wonderful deliverance. There's good news for you. So perhaps you've had these letters through the year, and you would say, as you assess it, 2019, again, another sort of 10 days or so, I'd be glad to see it over. Well, here is good news, whatever your circumstances have been through the year. The second thing we notice this evening is that the angel says it's not only good news, but it's good news of great joy. Now, in what sense was it a message of great joy? Well, the circumstances point to this. First of all, there's this young couple. They've had a difficult journey traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And yet, despite the unhygienic surroundings, there's been the safe delivery of a young son into the world. And again, it may have been that that's been your circumstance, your situation as a family this year. A new life has come into the family. All the concerns and the anxieties are now behind you, and you're looking forward to the development and growth and maturing of this young life. The joys of parenthood here then. The sense of hope and anticipation connected with the future. After that sort of basic joy then of parenthood and the bringing of the child safely into the world, obviously the shepherds thought also that it was a message of great joy for them. They were working on the hillsides that David, the son of Jesse, the king of Israel, had worked at as a shepherd for his father's sheep many centuries before. And the news was coming that now the Saviour had been born in Bethlehem. And for these shepherds then, it was a matter of great joy, because they were looking for a longed-for deliverer. The Messiah had come. They hoped that he would be like King David of old, defeating the enemies of the Jewish people, restoring the kingdom and its territory that they once owned. They would now, from now on, this deliverer had come. They would now, they thought, be independent of the Roman Empire, no longer be a vassal state, paying tax and tribute to the emperor, who was spending it all on the projects in Rome. Now, however, it went with you 10 days ago in when you had to put your cross in the box. Well, in one sense, we know there were some who were full of great joy, others were very despondent. But in one sense, whatever the outcome, if we're looking to an individual to bring a sense of deliverance to us, well, it won't be long before we'll sadly be disappointed. Here's the message of the one who would come to rescue us from our greatest need. But it's also a great message of joy to the angels, because the purposes of God that had been in process over many hundreds of years were now being fulfilled. Rather than it being an interruption into the lives of people, it was more of an intervention, changing the course of what seemed inevitable judgment upon sin. And what is so amazing as well about this story is that it was an act of what we call grace. This coming into the world was unmerited. Sinners were not to get what they deserved as a result of this coming of this deliverer. They would be provided for and given a path of pardon, an opportunity of being rescued from all the results of their wrongdoing. The one who had come is later described here as the Saviour. A Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, we read there in verse 11. Here's the one then in the descriptions of the work that he will accomplish. Mary, we know, had already been told to call him Jesus. We heard that in the reading from Luke chapter 1. And this was the same one then who was given that very name 8 days later when he was circumcised. Now today, however, much of the rejoicing, the great joy at this Christmas season doesn't relate to this fact at all. There are more who are rejoicing at the fact that they've got a few days off work and are looking forward now to the food and the drink and the feasting at this time of the year. In offices and factories, it's the Christmas party that is the focal point and the highlight. And even the children are more mostly associated and think of Christmas in connections with parties that they attend and presents that they receive. There are very few, perhaps, nativity scenes in shop windows these days. And some are even questioning the possibility or the advantage of singing carols, that they're no longer relevant. Well, we're well on the way to returning to the pagan reveling that was true of our nation centuries ago, evident before perhaps even Christianity came to this country. And yet there are still a few who are glad to hear this wonderful news and rejoice in it. Now, the third and final thing I must draw your attention to this evening then is that third adjective, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people. Third adjective tells us of the scope of this joyful news. Who is it for? Well, in the context, obviously, it's immediately the people of God, the people of Israel, the people who are living under the heel of the Romans at this time. It's a word to them in their generation, in their geographical situation. But it's also a word to rich aristocrats. It's a word to religious leaders. It's a word to the elderly like Simeon and Anna, who are mentioned later on in this chapter. To the working people like the shepherds, to the intelligent travellers from the east, mentioned there in Matthew 2. And we may also perhaps understand the adjective as having this broader application. It's to all the people, to every generation, specifically to the generation in which the shepherds and times in which they were living, but to all generations. The people of the day in which it was first declared, and to the people of today. So what we're realizing is that this is a story that will never grow old. It's been appreciated by those of differing cultures, languages, and geographical entities as the gospel has spread throughout the world. It's a message that's believed by young and old, as illustrated by those taking part in our service here tonight. Let me finish with an illustration that was given by a missionary in Africa who informed the group of people that he was speaking to that at Christmas time, out of gratitude to God for the way he sent his only son as the saviour of sinners, Christians would give one another gifts as an expression then of that greatest of all gifts. On one Christmas morning, one of the pupils gave the missionary a seashell of such beauty that it was overwhelming. When asked where he had discovered this shelf, or the missionary was thinking he might perhaps just walk a few yards and go onto a beach and find a number of them, different sizes for the future, for himself, that he might be able to give as presents to others. The man who had given him this present said that he'd walked many miles, scores of miles, to a small cove. He'd climbed down a perilous slope onto the beach. No steps, no rope. He'd held on at times, and with then this important, beautiful shell under his arm as well, in a bag, he also then had to climb back up that perilous journey and make the distance back to the place where he was living. And yet then the missionary, in expressing his gratitude, thanked the man, and he said, "Well, I think it was wonderful of you to travel so far and to put your life in danger to get this lovely present for me." And then the man who had done so said, "Well, let me tell you simply this. Yes, there is this beautiful shell, and that is the present. But the long walk and also the dangerous descent is part of the gift as well." You see, this African had appreciated not only the gift of forgiveness of sins, not only the pardon that is ours, though we've done many wrong things, that there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. He did not only appreciated that there was a new start to life. However old we are, we can start again if we but believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was also aware of what had been involved in securing the forgiveness of his sins. The distance the Savior had come. The peril that he had put himself in. Putting himself in harm's way so that we could be rescued. He was giving thanks to the Savior for that as much as for the salvation that had been brought. And so we're to thank not only for the gift, but also to thank the giver and the one who willingly came to be our Savior. May these thoughts then on these simple adjectives, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. May it be of comfort and help to you as you seek to find the Lord Jesus and to know him as your Savior. And yet all the point is perhaps he's more seeking you than you are seeking him. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.